Okay.
Welcome to God and Dear for April. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Saint John of the Cross.
Pray for us.
So, this month we've got an amazing speaker, Rob Zarr. I've known Rob for, must be a long time, 15 years, maybe longer. And Rob is someone who I've looked up to for a long time. This guy, he's a weapon in the hands of the Lord. He's one of those guys that has just dedicated every part of his life, every minute of his life, as long as I've known him, to sharing the gospel with other people, to trying to help other people to grow closer to Jesus, and involving himself in all kinds of different evangelization and different church ministries. He's a really wonderful man. He's a school teacher like myself, which is one of my favorite things about him. He's also a spiritual director. He's got a degree in theology from the Abler Institute. And he's going to talk to us tonight about spiritual warfare, which I think it's something that's obviously resonated with a lot of people. I think a lot of people came along because they were interested in that topic. Because it's a way of deepening our prayer life and seeing our prayer life, I think, in a more serious way. It's, you know, prayer, living a Christian life, it's not just a game. It's not just about having fun. There's a serious side to it. There's a dangerous aspect to it. And I think Rob's going to help us to understand that and deepen our prayer life tonight through drawing on some of the great wisdom of the church, great saints like Saint Teresa and Saint Ignatius Loyola, and also through his all of his studies that he's done. Thanks very much, Rob. Here you go. So, I forgot to make a quick announcement. Andrew's asked me to let everyone know, as we do every month with God and Beer, we film the talk, and we also take a few photos and things. And, you know, we do that so that we can promote God and Beer, put it on our social media pages and things like that. If anyone would not like to have their image in those, in a video or a photo, just have a chat with Andrew up the front here at some point tonight, and we can, make arrangements for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. And so just with this talk, I'm going to do something quite dangerous in the sense that I'm actually giving you access to all the slides beforehand. Part of that is that this screen is at one end of the room and you're at the other end. And so you might want to be able to follow the slides as we go through, and that gives you a chance to engage more with what we're doing. The dangerous part is that you might just want to jump onto your Candy Crush and get distracted. So please stay focused on just the slides. So I'm just going to give you a moment to get that down. It's easy to remember, it's just t.ly and then SWDSGB, Spiritual Warfare, Discernment of Spirits, God and Gear, GB. So I need to move on now. Does anyone want me to hold that up while they're still doing it? Okay, just tell me when you're ready. Well, take a quick photo of it if you can, and then you can just get it from your photo. Very clever. Okay, are we all good? Yep, good to go. Okay, I'm going to start by prayer, and part of this is part of the talk, so that you can become familiar with some of these prayers and also gain access to them. So I've got links to the bottom of the slides where you can access those prayers. Now, there's one you'll be very familiar with, but one of the core things I want to talk about is actually inviting Jesus into every part of our life. And one way we can do that is to commune with him. So I'm just going to invite you, if you wish, to join me with this prayer together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and I unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Actually a really beautiful prayer to really commune with Jesus. So, this next prayer is called the Perimeter Prayer. And there are many people I know that pray this every day, and they include their loved ones in it because it actually kind of provides a circle of protection around them. So, I'm sure some of you have come here because you're pretty concerned about particular people in your life. So this is one of those prayers that you can now pray daily for them, but also for yourself, to be protected and to receive more grace. So let's pray together.
Lord Jesus Christ, in thy love and mercy, establish a perimeter of protection around all of us and myself and all our loved ones, those who pray for us and their loved ones. May the holy angels guard us and all our possessions, establishing a perimeter of protection around us, rendering us immune from any kind of demonic influence. I ask that no demonic bondage or demonic entity or astral projection or disembodied spirit may enter the space of 100 yards in all directions of us. I ask that any demons within this vicinity or any that should try to enter here be rendered deaf, dumb, and blind, that thou would strip them of all weapons, armor, power, illusions, and authority, that thou would bind, rebuke, and disable them from communicating or interacting with each other in any way. Remove them, sending them directly to the foot of thy cross, Jesus, Son of the Most High. I ask this in thy glorious and most holy name. Amen.
Now, this one is freely available on an app called the Exorcism app. Don't worry about the name in terms of exorcism. It's actually got the full kit of prayers for exorcists and priests and laity. So just go to the section on the laity and you'll find a full arsenal of prayers there, pretty much about anything that you could ever want to deal with the spiritual battle. And it's freely available on Android or iPhone. So again, through the PowerPoint, you can click on that and download that. I highly recommend it. It's one of the few things that I would really encourage you to get hold of, particularly when there are things going on in your life or issues. This has, you'll find a prayer there pretty much for anything. And all the ones for laity, there's no issue, just pray them. And if it makes a difference, then you know there's something there that needs to be dealt with. Okay, and some of you, I know, have got this book, Deliverance Prayers. So that particular one came from Father Chad Ripiger, who's one of the major exorcists in the US. A lot of YouTubes from him. And there's a prayer book that you have more access to it as well. Okay, this next one is also one from Chad Ripiger. He actually started a new religious order of exorcists called the Dolorans. And one of the prayers that he uses as part of this ministry is this prayer called the Exilium Christian Norm. It's quite long, but it's very powerful. And it's a great prayer, again, for use if you have some concerns in spiritual life, to start to pray these prayers. It's a one-week cycle of prayers. And again, there's an app for this one, the Auxilium Christian Norum app. So I'd like to pray that again, because it's one for you to become familiar with the words and but also to really let God's grace really enter deeply into us to do his work with us tonight. Okay. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Most gracious Virgin Mary, thou who wilt crush the head of the serpent, protect us from the vengeance of the evil one. We offer
nations, sufferings, and good works to thee, so that thou may purify them, sanctify them, and present them to thy Son as a perfect offering. May this offering be given, so that the demons that influence or seek to influence the members of the living and mortal do not know the source of their fortune and violence. Blind them so that they know not how good works. Blind them so that they know not on whom to take vengeance. Blind them so that they may receive the just sentence for their works. Cover us with the precious blood of thy Son, so that we may enjoy protection which flows from his passion and death. Amen.
Okay, there's more yet. Saint Michael, holy archangel,
defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, pass into death by Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruler's souls. Amen.
Angel of God, my guardian here,
to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guide, to rule and guide. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Okay. So I'll just join in as we go. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Christ hear us.
Christ graciously hear us.
God the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Blood of Christ, only begotten Son of the Eternal Father,
save us.
Blood of Christ, incarnate Word of God,
save us.
Blood of Christ, of the New and Eternal Testament,
save us.
Blood of Christ, falling upon the earth in the agony,
save us.
Blood of Christ, shed profusely in the scourging,
save us.
Blood of Christ, flowing forth in the crowning of thorns,
save us.
Blood of Christ, poured out on the cross,
save us.
Blood of Christ, Christ of our salvation,
save us.
Blood of Christ, without which there is no forgiveness,
save us.
Blood of Christ, Eucharistic drink and refreshment of souls,
save us.
Blood of Christ, dream of mercy,
save us.
Blood of Christ, victor over demons,
save us.
Blood of Christ, courage of martyrs,
save us.
Blood of Christ, strength of confessors,
save us.
Blood of Christ, bringing forth virgins,
save us.
Blood of Christ, help of those in peril,
save us.
Blood of Christ, relief of the burdened,
save us.
Blood of Christ, solace from sorrow,
save us.
Blood of Christ, hope of the penitent,
save us.
Blood of Christ, consolation of the dying,
save us.
Blood of Christ, peace and tenderness of hearts,
save us.
Blood of Christ, pledge of eternal life,
save us.
Blood of Christ, freeing souls from purgatory,
save us.
Blood of Christ, most worthy of all glory and honor,
save us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
gracious hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Thou hast redeemed us with thy blood, O Lord,
and made us a kingdom for our God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God,
who has appointed thy only begotten Son to be the Redeemer of the world, and has been pleased to deliver himself unto us by his blood, grant us to beseech thee, so that we may celebrate with solemn worship the Christ of our salvation, so that the power thereof may heal our death, keep us from all things dreadful, and the fruit of the same may grant us forever. Love them in heaven. heavenly sovereign of the angels, thou from the beginning hast received the love, the power, and the mission to crush our prayers, Satan. We humbly beseech thee to send thy holy religious, so that under thy command and through thy power, they may receive the things and convert them from everywhere, suppress their boldness, and drive them back into the abyss. O good and tender Mother, thou wilt always be our love and hope. O Divine Mother, send thy holy angels to defend us and to drive far away from us the cruel enemy. Holy angels and archangels, defend us, guard us. Amen.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus,
have mercy on us.
Mary, Hope of Christians,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
Holy of all the angels,
pray for us.
In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, this final one is really useful for nights like this when we're using technology. And there's been many times at a Catholic conference or something that something goes wrong, they pray this prayer, and then it's all good for the rest of the night. So let's pray it together.
Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign King, enthroned in heaven, in your love and mercy, establish a perimeter of protection with your precious blood around our communication devices and all technology uses today. The cameras or webcams, microphones, speakers, displays, any and all software, Wi-Fi connections in the air, routers, the optic cables involved in the transmission of data, and the light waves being used to transfer data. Cleanse them with your precious blood and drive from them any satanic influence. Establish around them a sanctuary of witness where Satan in any other evil spirit or human agency cannot interfere. I ask, Father, that you would not bind with you and render unwanted any assault of the evil one from them in any way. Father, so long as these instruments are utilized in this ministry of mercy, we ask you to allow them to enjoy the protection of the Blessed Mother, Saint Michael the Archangel, all the holy angels, and by the intercession of Blessed Carlo of the Deeps. We ask this in your most holy name, the name before which every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, the first thing I want to do is get the right perspective. And I want to ask you all, what is the biggest problem in the world today?
Trump.
Okay.
Good answer. They're the woke Marxists.
Okay. Anyone else? What's the biggest problem in the world today?
Donald Trump.
Okay, someone says Trump. What else? Lack of belief in God. Okay, pretty close. I'm actually asked a particular answer. Yeah?
I'd say nihilism and the inversion of the hierarchy of the divine hierarchy.
Nice. Okay. Anyone else?
Sin.
Sin. Okay. So think of every other problem that you were thinking of, and is sin at the root of that problem? Yeah. And if we think even of our problem in our life currently, can we boil it down to sin as the root cause of all of those problems?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a paradigm shift that I'm wanting to, as one of the first things I want to establish in this talk, and that shift from a truly correct perspective of who the enemy really is, and who and what are we fighting? Because if we're in a battle, which we all are, you've got to know who the actual enemy is. Because if you're fighting the wrong enemy, you're gone. You know, you're doing something that's useless or ineffective or potentially counterproductive. So this is nice saying of this guy that tried to change the world and realized he wasn't even able to change his own family. But then he realized if he had changed himself first, then that would have had a flow-on effect with all these other things. This is really at the heart of this paradigm shift that I'm talking about. when we talk about Catholic social teaching and we think of all the principles that are there, solidarity, subsidiarity, common good, and how to transform society with the gospel, and how should society be ordered. So many of those first comments were about politics and the desire to change politics. The church has a vision for that in Catholic social teaching, but it recognises in that Catholic social teaching, there is a complete summary of it called the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church. And these quotes are straight from the Compendium. So this is at the heart of our Catholic social teaching, and it recognises that justice is not enough, that it can even betray itself, and that it is open to that deeper power, which is love. And only love can animate and shape social interaction, moving it towards peace in the context of a world that is ever more complex. And so, how are we going to do this? What program we do? So much of, you know, responding to those political issues, we join a political party, we're going to spend huge amounts of energy in the political realm. Well, Catholic social teaching says this. You know, what program do we need? How are we going to fix this? No, we shall not be saved by a formula, but by a person and the assurance that he gives us. I am with you. It is not, therefore, a matter of inventing a new program. The program already exists. It is a plan found in the gospel and in the living tradition. It is the same as ever. Ultimately, it has its centre in Christ himself, who is to be known, loved, and imitated, so that in him we may live the life of the Trinity and with him transform history until its fulfillment in the heavenly Jerusalem. So how does this work? Well, there's a beautiful novena called the Surrender Novena by a servant of God, Domingo Rotondo. And I think this gets to the heart of it in terms of our own life. He says, surrender to me does not mean to stress or to be upset or lose hope. It does not mean offering to me a worry prayer, asking me to follow you and change your worry into prayer. It is against this surrender, so very deeply against it, to worry or to be nervous, and the desire to think about the outcome of anything. It is like the confusion that children feel as when they ask their mother to care for all their needs, and then try to take care of those needs themselves, so that all their childlike efforts get in their mother's way. God has all the grace necessary to transform the world. We just need to learn to cooperate with him to do and fulfill and to bring about all those changes. Okay, so this might be the kind of the image that you have of the spiritual battle, where you've got good versus evil, and we're fighting in the world against all those people that are good, you know, fighting against all the bad people in the world, and trying to bring the changes. Well, that's actually not the field of battle. You can have this image of Jesus and Satan, that, you know, this battle is between them on the earth. No. Jesus has already won the victory. Okay? He is already victorious. We're about to celebrate that this Easter. The definitive battle against good and evil has already been won. We're in the mopping up situation of it. We already know what the outcome is going to be. It's a matter of getting on the winning side and then cooperating and continuing that victory in the world today and around us today. So, Satan can only act to the extent that Jesus allows him to. Okay. It really takes, it's a big paradigm shift to realize that. So, St. Teresa of Avila, you know, says, I'm now so little afraid of it. She's gone through that transformation to recognize the truth of that. And she knows that they have virtually no power compared to Christ. And being rooted in Christ, she knows that they're just working through that. So, we think, what can demons do? Okay. Basically, they try to influence us to do things. They can pop thoughts into our heads, they can, but ultimately we are the ones that decide to act. So when someone says, Satan made me do it, okay, Satan might have tempted you, but you chose to cooperate with that temptation. You're the one that brings about that evil in your life. And all the evil in the world has been brought about by people choosing to do that evil. Satan is the accuser or the suggester, but it's really people's own sin and cooperation with that. So, Jesus says, provided I am not out of the grace of God, I have scarcely any fear of them at all, for their strength is as nothing. But if they find the souls that attack give up the contest and become cowards, it is in this case that they show their power. And that's when we see the full effects of Satan in people's lives, when people have given up the fight and allowed Satan to run over them and carry out all kinds of evil. Okay. And that can ultimately lead to death, like to hell. And so we need to recognize the full drama of this. The drama is not ultimately of who gets elected or doesn't get elected or what policy becomes law. The ultimate drama is souls in heaven or hell. That is the real battleground, is people's souls. And so our fight is to try to, one, for ourselves to aim to heaven, and then to bring as many souls with us as we possibly can. Obviously, this flows into Catholic social teaching, to transform the world with right policies and ordering them to the kingdom. But how can we help order a policy to the kingdom if we ourselves are not already ordered towards the kingdom? There's a natural cause and effect here. So, the biggest problem in the world is sin. The Greek word for sin means missing the mark. Every time we miss the mark, we are not bringing about the fullness of what we could do in our life in God's grace. And so, what is that mark? What should we be actually aiming for? So, it's our heart. It's our own soul. It's being transformed by God to be an agent of grace, to remove all those areas. Satan can only work in our lives to the extent of our attachments, our worldliness, and all those things. That's where he can press our buttons and start to direct us to do what is good. So when we're thinking of going to prayer and praying, he'll just pop in that thought about that next Netflix episode that's just about to come on. And then what do? That's our choice. Do we go with it or do we resist and do that which is right? He knows all of our buttons. Okay. So, just to give a bit more background about Teresa of Avila, there's over 10,000 saints, but we have 37 doctors of the church and we have two experts on prayer, St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. So we're going to be taking on a journey of Teresa through the castles. And so she talks about our soul as this castle of a very clear crystal of many rooms. In the center of it is Jesus ultimately. That is our aim. And so when we think of the castle, we can think of our soul is a lot more vast than what we think. We have an interiority in our soul. And the aim is for us to enter into the depths and core of our being where God resides and to be united with him. So as we go through these, I'm going to take you through each of these castles and give you practical ways of what might be the next step for you to take on the spiritual battle in your life. And so Teresa, in these seven mansions, they're grouped into the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way. And John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila makes it absolutely clear that we are meant to all go to the seventh mansion. That fullness of intimacy and union with God. That is actually God's plan A for your life. So we might think, oh, what vocation should I do? Well, this is the same thing for every single person on the planet. To be united with God. and to have such intimacy and union with God, all the grace to do this is available to every single one of us. It's we that need to cooperate with God's grace to bring that about. It also means that as you grow in holiness, you become even more effective for God. And so whatever you're trying to do for God will become so much more powerful, joyful, and effective through growing in holiness. So my hope is, I'm going to cover a lot of ground here, and each of you are at different stages. So if there's one thing that you pick up, they think, yes, that's what I need to do to take the next step, then that's what you should concentrate on. There's an old saying, inch by inch is a cinch, yard by yard is too hard. One step at a time. And that's why I'm also giving you this PowerPoint, so that you can come back to it, so that you can then see, well, what is the next step I need to do? The entry into the castle is prayer. If someone doesn't even have prayer or interior life, they don't even have that reflectivity to be in the castle itself. And so it's that yes to God, which I started with. But there are many other ways to have a daily offering or another prayer that you pray each day to say, yes, I'm going to live for you today. And it ideally should be the first thing that you say in the morning, to say, I am for you, Jesus. Help me to grow closer to you. The rosary is the best form, or one of the easiest prayers to pray, but also one of the most powerful. Why? Because Mary magnifies the Lord. She sees our need and brings it about. And she does God's will and helps us to do God's will by praying the rosary. I wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for the rosary. My grandfather during the war was about to cross a bridge, and as he was starting to walk across it, he remembered that he left his rosary beads behind. He went to get them, the bridge blew up, he would have died, and I would never have existed. One little prompting made all the difference. When you pray the rosary, the number of promptings you get increases in your life. And so by praying the rosary, you are going to get, it's a base level of prayer. And it's so effective when you're in the thick of the spiritual battle or overcoming a temptation or addiction or anything, just grab those reeds and stay and keep praying. For me, there was one point in my life when I was really struggling with a particular temptation. And it was seven rosaries later, seven sets of five decades, that it finally lifted. But then I was free of it from that point on. That's the kind of commitment you need to make at times, and the sacrifice to overcome the temptations and the things that we struggle with in life. Okay, the first mansion is someone who's really still caught up in the world, but at least they've got a basic prayer life. And how do you make progress? Well, the first thing that Teresa and John recommends is mental prayer. One of the things that is very prevalent around us, particularly here in Australia, is a lot of vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is mass, rosaries, novenas, all those set kinds of prayers. And they're good and they're powerful. We need to pray. I started with a lot of vocal prayer. But to really make spiritual growth, mental prayer is essential. Starting with, say, 15 minutes a day. And the easiest way, you can just start any time, but when someone starts a little bit earlier, sets their clock 15 minutes earlier, and then starts with just 15 minutes of prayer, that really starts to make a big difference. For me, I started to build up my mental prayer, and it really brought about huge transformations in my life. By starting with that grace of prayer at the start of the day, it then flowed into the rest of the day. My day became ordered to grace, and there were so many more opportunities where God just worked and guided me and helped me to do good things and to avoid mistakes. It also started to build up that intimacy with Him, so I was more docile to the Holy Spirit, and also it started to heal me of my memories and my hurts from the past. And this is something that worked on as I made my way through the castles. Next one is a daily examine. Most people do it for about 5 minutes a day. St. Ignatius recommends that everyone on the planet should be doing it for about 15 minutes a day. His Jesuits, twice a day. And so, very simple prayer. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these. It's a lot I want to get through, and I want to make sure I get through everything. So once you've got those two, spiritual reading is the next thing. Spiritual reading so that each day, even just for 7 minutes, just before you go to bed, so that you're gradually making progress in understanding the spiritual life and what is the next step you need to do. What is the next thing that's going to help take you deeper into Christ and transform your life? Now, once those things are in place, someone then usually moves into the second mansion. Now, I'm giving this as a very sequential, but for people that can be not so straightforward, you know, they'll have this thing, then that thing, make progress, fall down, etc. And so the main thing is to persevere and keep praying and keep persevering. So in the second mansion, there's a real battle between sin. The person is now wanting to make real progress, but they're struggling with sin and keep falling down. I know lots of people in this stage who are active in the church, but behind the scenes, they're really struggling to overcome patterns of sin in their life. How do we break through those patterns of sin? So the first one is confession, reconciliation, at least monthly. If you're really trying to overcome something, it could be weekly, but for some people I know, it was daily until they broke free from that area. One of the secrets is what's called a plan of love, also called a rule of life. And you can, there's now an app for that called Holy Habits, which is a very powerful app to give you a daily accountability and where you can put in something and say, yes, I want to commit to this. This is one of the key things I would recommend, that you think, yes, I need to start to pray daily. Then I would recommend getting this app and locking in that that's what you're now going to do. It will send you a text each day and remind you how you're going with that. And so accountability is crucial to making progress. I know for Matt Fradd, Christopher West was the one that made him accountable for him to overcome sexual sin in his life. That accountability, you know, being part of the small group or things like this. The next one is the discernment of spirits. I'm going to go through this in more detail. So once you've got those things in place, it's really a matter of overcoming the work of the enemy. This comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola, and he gives 14 rules of how to overcome what's called desolation. So firstly, the enemy's wandering. I'm just going to pull out the bits of this. You get the PowerPoint to read this in more detail in your own time. So for someone going from mortal sin, from bad to worse, the enemy just keeps on giving pleasures. You know, go to this movie, read this book, you know, do this thing. And the good spirit uses a contrary method, singing and biting the consciences through the rational power of moral judgment. In other words, helping someone realize they're doing the wrong thing and don't do this. Now, this is really very important. A lot of people don't make progress in the spiritual life and because they think, oh, the world, you know, the church is all about the sin stuff, you know, we can move away from them, they're so harsh and they're so negative. So there's two voices. There's the enemy's voice, who's the accuser, and there's God's voice, who is the convictor. The enemy is like this. You are so bad. You stuffed again. Who do you think you are? You're no good at this. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're an idiot. Now, we hear these kinds of voices hit us all the time. That's the enemy's voice. That is not God ever. This is God's voice. Okay, you've done wrong again. But I am here to love you, help you, forgive you, and give you that chance. I will give you another chance every time you need it. I am always here for you. I love you. I have a plan for your life for you. Come to me. Ask for forgiveness, and I will wash you with my precious blood and set you free and give you a future full of hope. I am always with you, ready to help you. That is God's voice. So when people reject the church, they're rejecting the accuser, which they should do. They don't realize that God loves us unconditionally. And it's that voice that we need to be sharing with others when we tell them, possibly about sin, that they can be forgiven, that it's okay. We're not hard on you. We are gentle with you. For those going, one other thing about that. A lot of people say, oh, it's okay, you know, I'm living with my girlfriend, it's all good, you know, I feel peaceful, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That peace is not God's peace. It's false. And in some part of the recesses of their heart, they would have a darkness that maybe they don't even admit to themselves that they have. And so God wants to give us a true peace, a deep peace, a profound peace, more joyful and encompassing than anything that the world can give. And he wants to give that to everybody. So when some people talk about this sermon and say, oh, I'm peaceful about this choice, well, hang on, maybe there's something more going on here. We've got to think a little bit more deeply about this. Okay, from good to better, the enemy tries to make it hard, but God tries to make it easy. Consolation. As you deepen in prayer, there'll be a stage where if by just praying, you're just feeling as if nothing is happening. Every time you pray, God is doing something in your life. It might not be experientially there, but it is at work in your whole life somewhere. And gradually you will start to experience graces from God, consolations. And they start to move us more deeply and encourage us to keep making progress. The enemy gives the opposite, desolation. And some of you might have even experienced that today, before coming here. You felt, oh, I don't feel right. Like, why should I bother coming to this talk tonight? You know, I've got so much on, and you didn't feel good, and you felt God was absent a bit. Well, that's desolation. And anyone that starts to make progress in their spiritual life will experience desolation of various intensities. These rules are there to help you kick that desolation and for you to make progress. And so, and the enemy speaks in desolation. God speaks generally in consolation. So when you're feeling desolation, they're saying, oh, give up on prayer, it's all too hard, why bother, etc. Then realize, no. In a time of desolation, make no change. Realize that you are in desolation and keep persevering in the good choice that you have already made. If anything, increase in prayer a little bit. Work against it. The enemy will give up because he finds that whenever he gives you desolation, you actually increase in prayer and it's actually helping you grow in holiness. And therefore, he's not going to bother with that tactic anymore. And so this is one of the secrets. In fact, Satan's attacks are really useful for growing in holiness when you perceive it. There is always grace for salvation. No matter how hard it gets or how messy life is, God always provides a way. We've just got to turn to him and ask him. The name of Jesus is powerful. He is always available, ready to help you. Just simply say, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. Give me the grace I need now. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Be patient and persevere in prayer through that time of desolation. Why do we have desolation? Because maybe we're getting slack in our prayer and we're veering off course. And God is allowing us to then experience the negativity and basically asking us the question, is this what you really want? God gives us so many reminders to help us stay on track. But also it's a chance to grow in holiness and recognize it's all grace and not us. It's his work and we've got to rely upon him. Okay, I'm going to jump through a couple of these. we can always do much with God's grace. Even when we feel as if God is absent, God is always present to us. And so to turn to Him and ask Him for help, even when we least feel like it, is essential. Okay, the last three rules are about the enemy's tactics. And as we had from Trees of Avila earlier, is that the enemy tries to frighten us. One of his key tactics is fear. But we have nothing to be afraid from him because we have God's power and all the means to kick him out of our life. We just have to use the name of Jesus. And just tell Satan, be gone. I recognize your temptation. Give it up. You know, turn to more prayer. Start praying the rosary. And he will run. It will dissipate. It will disappear. The second one is as a false lover. And this manifests in so many different ways in people's lives. It's where marriages fall apart because one person is not being honest with the other and sharing what's really going on in their life. It is where even great evangelists have started to be led astray, but keep it secret. Don't bring it to other people that can make a difference. What should we do? We should have a trusted friend and be open and honest about it. There was a great story from St. Francis of Assisi. And one of the brothers, Satan was appearing to as Jesus and saying, you know, you are my special beloved follower and I'm going to guide you and help you. And he was starting to believe all of this, but it was leading him into depression and darkness. St. Francis eventually realized what Satan was doing to him. And so he said to them, to do this. And this is the unabridged translation. This is the direct translation. Some translations, they soften it. This is what St. Francis said to that brother to say. He said, Satan, open your mouth so I can empty my bowels in it. And so that's what the brother did. Satan turned up as Jesus, and so he said that to what appeared to be Jesus, and instantly he was gone. And that was it. End of temptation. And so St. Anthony of Egypt teaches us, you know, to recognize that Satan has no power. He is, in fact, a loser. One of the things that I talk about when I talk about the third commandment, to keep the Sabbath holy, what's Satan's number?
666.
What's God's number? 777. Seven because of the Sabbath, the rest, the party day. Three times, one way to understand it, is eternity. So the Catholic party don't stop. 777 represents the Catholic party don't stop. Ultimately, heaven goes on forever, and we start to share that now in this life and that joy. Satan, 666, that means he never gets to the party. He's stuck. Okay, how long is he stuck for? Forever. There is no rest for the wicked, is another saying. And really, 666 says that. What 666 is actually saying is, I'm a loser. Okay, Satan is saying, I'm never getting to the party, I'm never going to have rest, and I'm a loser. And so we need to... But the number 666 has no power in itself. It's just another number. Everything is actually God's. Satan has nothing. He just tries to twist things, and he is the father of lies. We've got to recognize that he has nothing on us. We have nothing to fear. Jesus is utterly and totally victorious. The final one is Satan moves around looking for our weak spot. And then he hits us with all he's got in that weak spot. Now, this is really useful because it means we kind of struggle to know what our weak spot is. And he just points it out to us. Thank you, Satan, because you've helped me recognize my weakness. Now I can bring it to Jesus, be healed in that area, and continue to grow in holiness. Keep up the good work. Okay? So in other words, Jesus allows these things, when we recognize it, to help us grow in holiness and to make that progress. Now, as we grow, so once we apply these rules really well, we actually grow able to kick desolation. We're now in basically a state of tranquility or consolation most of the time. Occasionally we hit desolation, we then kick it. You always fight against desolation. But then there's still things from our past that trouble us, hurts and so forth. Dr. Bob Schutz has the goods on that. He talks about this anatomy of the wound, where we've had some trauma, and then we've developed a false belief about ourselves, or even made a vow. And God wants to heal that and transform that area. And so there's this way of praying that helps to bring God's grace into that. That area of our soul where He still has an entry point, we can heal and surrender to God through prayer. And part of it is this prayer of to renounce, rebuke, and reject. And we're going to be desirous to utterly reject every aspect of the enemy's attack. Not just the attack, but the attachment that it brings. The kind of superiority we get from pride, or the joy that we might get from gluttony. And to really detach ourselves from every aspect of that, to be fully free. So this growth in holiness starts to become more and more encompassing of our joy. So we don't place our joy in the things of this earth, but in the true fullness who is Christ Himself. And that fills us with a greater joy, a greater transformation. And so we're able to start to work out what our root sin is and recognize it. And so we move into the third mansion, where we are now avoiding habitual mortal sin, habitual venial sin. We love doing penance, we're praying for hours, we're very well organized. And as we go through this, one of the other tactics of the enemy, once he realizes he can't get us with desolation, is he then gives us false consolation. And the way this works is, he makes a suggestion of something good. So, oh, you're following Jesus now. Well, you should join this prayer group, and you should do this ministry. And what about this extra group over here? And then all the while, you're no longer spending time with your family. You're caught up in all this ministry. You burn out and you think it's impossible, I can't be a Christian. And Satan thinks, ha ha, gotcha. Okay. Second week discernment is all about how to recognize that and to recognize eventually in the suggestion itself that it's false and to stay focused on Jesus. That's a very fine-tuned discernment. But all the rules for doing it and how to grow in that are here in this book. By Timothy Gallagher. He's got another book about discerning God's will. And again, so many people get this wrong. They think, oh, I had this experience, this encounter, someone suggested this, it must be God's will. There's a lot more to discernment. St. Ignatius has given us all the principles for a really good discernment. And they're in this book, Discerning the Will of God. Okay, I'm going to quickly go through types of prayer. Vocal prayer, there's all those other prayers. Then we've got mental prayer, meditation. And so mental prayer, we start off with discursive meditation, where you're praying and you're thinking lots about the passage, what is it, what's going on, and so forth. Gradually, that moves into effective meditation, where you start, your heart's drawing in, and you're starting to appreciate Jesus, and starting to love Him more, and really, wow, you know, you healed this person. And what happens is that then you realize He's healing me, He's transforming my life. He brings these memories up and transforms them and brings love and freedom, and He continues to deepen you in that. And that then eventually moves into the prayer of simplicity, where you're so purified of your attachments that you're happy just to be with Jesus in the silence. And He brings you into that deeper union with Him. Now, that's third mansion. Then what God does is things can go dark. There can be this aridity. And in this aridity, it feels like desolation, but it's different. And St. John of the Cross gives us the rules for recognizing that difference between aridity. which is given by God for a deeper purification, where we find it hard to pray anymore, but we just want to be with Jesus. In desolation, you feel like you just want Netflix and chocolate. In aridity, you recognize that's all false, and you just want to still be with Jesus. And you're happy to just be alone with him. God's now doing a deeper work in your soul and giving you the starting of what's called infused contemplation. Infused contemplation is where God directly starts capturing your soul. And this is the fourth mansion, or as Teresa of Avila calls it, the prayer of quiet, where God is directly filling your will with his love and capturing your will. And it is a joy that is more fulfilling than anything on the planet. It can be very gentle, but it can become more and more intense. In the fifth mansion, he captures the intellect and the will, and you're actually out of it. God is now so fulfilling you with love and joy that the delight of it, you can't even explain because your intellect's been captured, but you know the effects of it in your soul, a deeper joy, a greater ability to love, more patience and gentleness. And God does this work. God wants to give every single person this gift. It's we that hold back from the spiritual journey. After a deeper aridity of the dark night of the soul, is the sixth mansion. God now directly infuses truth into us. And so this direct infusion of his grace and truth, again, is called ecstasy for a reason. Because its delight cannot be put into words, and Teresa struggles to even find the words to express how good and credible and beautiful it is. And finally, the seventh mansion, also called spiritual marriage, where an intellectual vision of the Trinity is given. God now dwells with that soul for the rest of their life. Mother Teresa experienced this in her early 20s. But when people read her diary about the darkness or what appeared to be doubt, it was just her expressing this aridity, because through embracing that aridity, she was embracing Christ upon the cross, who she loved. God gave her that because it would bring about and generate so much grace for her order and for the world. And she wouldn't want it any other way. I saw, and even during that time of all that darkness, there was this video where she, you know, thought about miracles. Okay, I'm running out of time. So, everyone is called to the seventh mansion. We've got to learn to cooperate with God's grace to get there. That is the ultimate victory of the spiritual battle in this life. The more we grow in holiness, the more effective we are for God. The key is, of course, we just can't get there in the day. St. Francis says, start by doing the possible and you'll end by doing the impossible. And I've seen this work in my own life as things that I never thought I'd be able to do, I started to be able to do. And the effects upon the lives of others were incredible. So, this can all be summed up in one scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. You seek the kingdom, you seek Jesus himself. Because in seeking Jesus, he is the answer. He is victorious. He has the plan. And through growing in holiness, we cooperate with that plan and bring about those changes in our life. And I've seen that at work with my own brother, who went through a profound conversion through being able to apply all these things that I'm talking about to bring about his transformation and eventually conversion before he died. Okay, I'm just aware now that I've hit the hour and I've got to the end of my PowerPoint. And there is a follow-up email link here, which if you're interested in receiving some more resources, I kind of ran out of time to put it together. So if you, I've got a lot of this also in a Google Doc, and there's a lot more in there, so I need to just clean it up, which I didn't have time for.
But I will.
Oh, you want to email to everyone? Okay, that's great. Cool, I'll send that off to everyone then. But if you also have some questions or comments or anything like that, you can use this link that will pass on your details to me, and that way you can contact me to get more information about anything. I also have some freebies, which are going to be handed out now. And it's a bookmark. So the bookmark gives you a link to a couple of resources. So one is the Avalo Institute, where I've learned some of what I'm talking about from, which is an institute in the US that provides spiritual formation. There's about 700 people, over 700 every term doing spiritual formation, plus over 100 seminarians from over 80 dioceses, including from Melbourne. We've had people go through the high calling program. And this on this bookmark is a free code for a course there. So the courses are online, they go for about 6 weeks each. One of them covers mental prayer, it's called Into the Deep. And the book, there's also a book for sale that I've got for $20 that you can buy tonight if you like. One of the biggest things that will start you on this journey is mental prayer. And this book, Into the Deep, makes it really easy. It's an easy read, and it covers all the steps about how to develop that. There's also another course on spiritual warfare and the discernment of spirits that I named my course after. There's a book on that. I've got some copies of that. There's also a free online course, and the link to that is also on the bookmark. So if you want to find out more and have more detail about this, that'll cover it far better than I have tonight. I think we've got Q&A now.
Rob, you mentioned about
Hang on. Do I just do it?
You mentioned about mental prayer.
Yes.
Is there any part of the day particular that you start with that?
Yeah. So the best time to start is the morning. And so the easy thing is to just set your clock 15 minutes earlier than you would normally wake up, and then just do that as the very first prayer of the day. And the basic steps of mental prayer is one, to ask for the grace to pray. A pro tip is to ask your guardian angel to help you to pray. And start with the scripture, read through that passage, and then from that passage to start to enter into thinking about it, reflecting on it, and then gradually that will lead you into a conversation with Jesus, potentially making a resolution at the end of it, or even just spending some time being with him. And so just doing that at the start of each day is the best way. So people that I know that are making really good spiritual progress, they all start with mental prayer at the start of the day.
Would you struggle initially where your mind wanders?
Yeah, your mind will definitely wander. Okay, so it could be that most of your prayer time you're distracted, and that's okay. You've made that commitment to Christ, and you're going to gradually grow in prayer. For me, I just fell asleep so often. The thing that made a big improvement for me was as soon as I started to doze, I stood up, and I started to keep on praying by standing up. And then I was so much more attentive, and that really brought me to a whole new gear in my spiritual life. So again, the book will cover that in terms of distractions. Sometimes distractions can be useful and turn it into your prayer, and there's something there that you need to bring to prayer. Other times it's a matter of just moving from it. And so, and sometimes when it's really intense, one recommendation I have is to start to memorize the passage you're working on. By memorizing, you're forcing your brain to think about it, but then as you think about the words, to then go with the thinking. Then as you're thinking about the concepts, that might lead you to thinking about Jesus. And then as you're doing that, it might lead you into him moving in your heart, in your prayer time in some way. And so the rule is, as you experience a higher form of prayer, yield to it. Give over to that higher form of prayer. So you might become aware of God's presence, and then just surrender to his presence. And so you can start at the bottom and you just keep going. Even in a distracted prayer, God might work during your prayer time with something, give you some kind of sense about something. And even if the whole time was spent distracted and then just that one thing, it's all worth it. Even if the whole thing was distracted, you've made that commitment, stay with it, push through. It's like desolation. Recognize, well, this could be desolation. I'm going to push through. I'm going to stay committed. It's in that daily commitment that real growth starts to take place and the transformation happens. What's really going on during that dryness and that aridity is your heart is being stretched and widened for God to give you a bigger gift and a bigger blessing. And so it's really important to keep persevering until you get to that consolation.
And then we always stayed with 15 minutes at the start, or had that change as you graduated?
So for different people, they build up to it. Ultimately, it should build up for a lay person to be about half an hour a day. Okay. Now, one of the things, you know, people think, oh, how am I ever going to do that? Well, if someone, one of your close friends called you, would the conversation go for half an hour? Or would you be happy to stop all that you're doing to give them that half hour? Well, Jesus is the one calling you. You know, how much is your screen time each day? Do you, once you get onto YouTube, are you there for half an hour? Well, start with it in the morning and kick the YouTube. Okay. One of the things to realize is that mental prayer is better than any movie. You know, we're easily happy to go to the movies and we'll watch a movie. But in a movie, it's just a story. It's make-believe. In mental prayer, you're encountering the story and in a way the movie of Christ himself, which is real. And secondly, he then starts to bring those miracles about in your life. And you get to talk. Imagine you could be in a movie and talking to the actors and being part of the action. Well, that's exactly what starts to happen in mental prayer. You become part of the action in the passage that you're talking about. You become the prodigal son that the father embraces and puts sandals back on your feet and a ring on your finger and clothes you and has a celebration. And you experience that love in prayer, going deep into your soul. That is what mental prayer is about. Being with Jesus and encountering him to allow his love to enter into every aspect of your life. And so each of these gospel passages have been chosen by God himself to allow you to have that encounter of love and to be transformed by that love.
Yeah, in your spiritual life, how do you engage with people with opposition opinions, you would say? For example, I have a cousin who's part of the Greens member, and it's kind of obvious that the Greens are pro-abortion and pro-gender ideology. So during this election, how do you engage with people on the other side in your spiritual life? And second question is, how do you get kids to be engaged into their spiritual life, into Jesus and the Bible and the church on a regular basis?
Okay, great question. Two things have made a massive difference for me in that area. The first one, many, many years ago, I really was exploring this question of how do I evangelize? What do I do? And then I realized I don't. Jesus is the evangelizer. I just have to cooperate with him. He does the work. And there's this beautiful saying, love builds a bridge that truth can cross. In other words, all I have to do is love the person. It's God's work in them that brings about the change. This is what I saw in my brother, who was, at one point, didn't even want me to mention the name of Jesus to him. But through love and through prayer, he was the one that started to share with me. There was one time, I was during a time of quarantine, and I built up to praying and fasting on a water fast for 3 days. And that same time, I wasn't expecting this, my brother called me and wanted to visit me. And so he did. And for 3 days, he virtually talked non-stop. And he shared about all his pain, all the trauma that he's experienced and so forth. And he came to Mass, he prayed a rosary with me. God did all of that work in him. I just sought the Lord. And Jesus did the rest. And then, as things unfolded, in another whole context, he's the one that shared with me. I just had to love him all day. And eventually the response was one of openness and sharing. Why? Because Jesus was doing the work in his heart, in his soul. God is actually at work in everyone's soul already. We've just got to be receptive and open to what God wants to do with that person. And we do that by just loving them, being with them, kind, gentle, encouraging, listening to them, allowing them to share their hurts, their pains, their sorrows. And by just receiving all of that, and not expecting to do anything, eventually they open up a little bit and start to share something deeper. And again, we shouldn't just suddenly shove Jesus into there. We need to just listen and be with the person to let them share and to receive and let them keep going deeper with what they're sharing until they're the ones asking us the questions, and then we're giving them and guiding them. Always asking God, Lord, what do you want me to say? You do it. Guide me in the words that I need. And that's exactly, in a way, that I do with my students. I rely upon the Holy Spirit to inspire them to want to do more. And I'm so blessed to have witnessed that over the years and currently in God working in my students' lives. He does so much more than ever I could think or imagine in their lives and how he's doing it. I just have to open the door and let him do it. Oh, yeah.
So as a current teacher myself as well, and in public schools particularly, I'm seeing spiritual battles in public schools, and now seeing young people who are lost in their ways as well, whether that is graduating or sort of the next thing. And so from your perspective as a teacher as well, what are some practical tips for teachers who would like to guide, as you alluded to earlier, so that young people can be best prepared for life? And secondly, what are some tips for young people to, you know, navigate this modern culture so that they can start with family and, you know, being a voice of work?
Great. There's a beautiful chapter in Bob Shute's book, Be Healed, where a teacher made all the difference to him, and it was a maths teacher. And I used to be involved in St. Vincent de Paul, going out and trying to help people, but I realised that time that I was spending doing that, I could be spending on focusing on creating better resources for the weaker students. And so I realised that's my call, that's my state of life. State of life is so important. The state of life, me, is a married man and a teacher. For someone else, it's single. For a priest, it's being a priest. And so your state of life is also where you are going to grow in holiness. Where I grow in holiness is to help those weaker students, to provide better resources, to encourage them and to build them up. And in the very act of that love and care, that is the gospel that gives them hope and dispels the darkness in their life and helps bring more grace in. And so no matter where you are, you can always love those around you. It's that love that shines God's grace and starts to till the soil, ready for those questions to be asked. A friend of mine in a non-Catholic school lives his faith really well. For instance, he will make rosary beads during staff meetings. And he just does it, and people ask him, and then he's got an opportunity to talk about it and to do those kinds of things. So it's, in a way, it's the beauty of holiness is it radiates this joy, this love, and then people are curious about it. It's the aroma of Christ. And so by firstly being transformed, which is what the whole talk is about, that will flow into transforming each of these other areas and then focusing on the little things where we encounter God to bring that love where there is no love, as Mother Teresa says. Okay, thank you everyone, and God bless. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Rob. I don't know about everyone else, but I got an enormous amount. I wrote down a whole bunch of things that I'm going to have to start bringing into my prayer life and into my family, you know, doing prayer with my family. I got so many wonderful ideas from that. And, you know, all your study and prayer throughout your life, you've obviously accumulated a lot of wisdom. Thanks for sharing that with us tonight, Rob.
What I'd like to do is just finish off with a little prayer and to really think about what is God calling you to do as we're entering into this Holy Week. What change is it that you need to make in your life to take that next step in growth and holiness? So let's just pray. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, just give us a moment now to try to make a resolution of how we can follow you better. Maybe whatever it is, maybe it's something totally different that you've inspired us to do. Just give you a moment now to make that clear to us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, give us the grace to fulfill that resolution and to empower our guardian angel to remind us until we do it. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, we've got a couple of donation buckets that are coming around now. God is a free event, as you know, but if you'd like to help us to thank our speakers and help us with some of the running costs of God and Beer, we'd be very grateful. Totally optional. I think Rob already mentioned it, but there's some books at the entrance to the room. You want to just give away? Here's a few of the bag there. If you'd like to get some resources that might help you grow in your spiritual life, Rob's very kindly organised a table there. Andrew, you've got a couple of slides you want us to look at. So this is our next God Beer event. In 1 month's time, we've got a talk about Catholic education called Truth, Beauty and Goodness, Renewing Catholic Education. Jonathan Hilly is a Catholic school teacher, a friend of mine. And he's going to talk about, I think probably the central way that Catholic education is being renewed around the world and here in Australia as well. This kind of renewal movement, I think, is gathering some steam. We've also got an event coming up in May. This is Jeff Zaha, who's works for Divine Renovation, and they're doing a web event. I think it's a web seminar with Michael Harvey, talking to people about how you can invite people invite people to Mass and invite people into the life of the church. How to be good at doing that. I think about friends of mine that I'd like to invite to church, but it's kind of awkward. What's a good way to go about it? There's going to be some good advice about how you can, practical tips about inviting people. And then we've got the Melbourne Passion Play, which happens every year. It's always an amazing event.
Catholic Regional College in Sydenham.
Catholic Regional College this year in Sydenham. MelbournePassionPlay.com.au is the website there if you want to get some more details.
So our first performance was yesterday. Our second performance will be Good Friday at 10 a.m. So if anyone lives on that side of town and would love to see the Passion Play, it's a great event.
At the Regional College, Sydney, on Good Friday.
Actors here too.
And then we'd like to thank our sponsor, Catholic Development Fund. They've got this offer at the moment. If you'd like to do your banking with a Catholic institution that's supporting Catholic schools and other Catholic organisations, Catholic parishes, Catholic Development Fund is the way to do that. And make sure you follow God and we're on social media. Jared, do you want to say a few words?
Yeah, just a couple of words about the Order of the Knights of the Southern Cross. And it's God and Mary under the auspices of the Knights of the Southern Cross. It's an initiative of the order. And we just a few words about what we're about. We just recently celebrated our centenary, so we're not a new organisation. And we're an order of Catholic men, formed over 100 years ago under the auspices of the Bishops of Australia, and to defend the rights of Catholics in difficult times. Because probably about 100 years ago, it was quite a bias against Catholic organisations and against Catholic people. So just to briefly outline the object of our order, and really there are five of those, and they are to promote the evangelism of Australia, to foster Christian way of life throughout the nation, to promote the welfare of its members and their families, to encourage spiritual, social and intellectual activities amongst its members, and to conduct and support educational, charitable, religious and social welfare work. Now, to these objects, we support the priests, the local parishes, and we're active in most of our parishes that we have branches in. We also do significant fundraising and thus support various charitable and religious organisations. And the order is open to practising Catholic men over the age of 18. So any interested men can contact me or one of, there's a few of our knights around here. And so I'll thank Tom for allowing me to say those few words. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming, everyone.
And happy Easter, everyone.